Damn, son, where'd you find this?
Buckle up, buttercups. It's time to get down to business. Oh, yeah. It's the Totally Legitimate Business Podcast.
Totally legit.
It's the Totally Legitimate Business Podcast, and we are here. And today we're joined by a very special group of individuals. The hosts of the Plebs Podcast. Welcome to the show, guys. Now, for the zero listeners so far, just go ahead and introduce yourselves. Tell us a little bit about the Plebs Podcast, and then we can kind of backtrack on what we were just talking about, the magnificence of discovering shit on the internet.
For sure. My name is Damar. I go by D-Star. Founder and co-founder of Swollen Nerd. We started Plebs Podcast. I started with E. I wanted to start a podcast, and I've known E for a minute since he was in high school. Among other projects, but this is something. It's kind of crazy because he was in high school, and I was training him, and it was something we were talk about. And he was like, "Yo, let's come up with the Plebs Podcast, man." So it was one of the projects, man. I said, "Let's get it. I want to talk. There's a lot of things I want to talk about." and with E, he brings the fire out of me. You know, I like to, like, I'm very passionate when I talk. Like, when it comes to anything, you know. But it's all out of love, bro. And like E kind of literally like he'll furnace that. So I'm like, man. All right, you gonna fire me up? Sometimes if you hear some of our topics, I'm like, yo, I know what you just did there, bro. You just put coal in the.
He's the gas man. He's the gas man.
Oh my god! Yeah, man. So yeah, I started Swollen Nerd just as a community thing, bro. And like, we are an example of that. Like, E was in high school. I had started Swollen Nerd in 2016. You know. With some other people, and he was and then I met him along the way, and we just been on this road, and he stuck around, and I'm like, okay, man, let's rock it. And we are an example of the community. I always wanted to do stuff with kids and the young adults, and he's really a testament of like just kind of what the philosophy of Swollen Nerd is, and help cultivating and myself too, whatever that need, like that, whatever your soul is like yearning for, like how can we nurture that and that you feel so confident going into life, you know. So just even what we're doing, we are the embodiment of Swollen Nerd, and the Plebs is us, you know what I'm saying, is what we're doing right now. So yeah, that's just a little short just about the Plebs and Swollen Nerd, and like, you know, just my time with E and how long I've known him literally since he was in high school, bro.
14.
Yep, he was 14 years old, bro.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Well, I guess that leaves it to me. So I'm Eamon, also E Money.
Yep.
Co-host of the Plebs Podcast here. And I know you were kind of talking about the Plebs, and that was like kind of an interesting thing for the name. I want to kind of talk about the origin of it.
That was going to be the first question. So, please.
Yeah, no. So like the Plebs or the plebeians were in the Roman society, were like the civilians, and that's what they would call them. Like, oh, you're the Plebs, right? And they were seen as like the lower people in society. So it was like, it's just two guys, two plebs talking about shit, you know, and we're just bullshitting on our podcast, you know, and so that's kind of the whole inspiration behind the name, is it's just two plebs or two just random guys talking about stuff.
Well, I really love it. And like I was telling you before, like me and a couple of my friends have the Plebe joke within, like all of our group chats are the Plebe group chats, you know. I think there's like a level of self-awareness that is I wear it as a badge of honor. I love being a plebe.
Yeah.
I love being a common person. I love being a person of the people. I guess the Romans said it in a derogatory way, but anytime anyone
I almost like that it's used that way,
sure.
Because it's like, It's just like jaywalking. Jaywalking at one point was a derogatory term, and now you just use it. Oh, you're jaywalking. It's the same idea with the plebes. It's just like, it's maybe it is a derogatory term, but so is fuck shit and whatever, right? And we still use these in everyday conversations.
Yeah.
So it's like, if we're able to call ourselves plebes, then we're all on the same level, right? Me and you,
no, dude,
we're all plebes.
I love that.
Yeah.
And
you know what else?
The division of the classes is something that has always bothered me as an individual. Yeah. And again, like yes. The plebe is the unifier. We're all plebes. We're all bootmakers mm-hmm. to kings. Okay.
Come on.
None of us belong to those fancy clubs. None of us are gonna have mm-hmm. $1 billion. We're the plebes, and that's okay.
I'm not a part of Bohemian Grove. I don't know about you.
Not yet.
The good old Bohemian Grove.
Didn't get me yet.
Yeah, right. But anyways. But no, man. But yeah, that's just kind of the inspiration for that.
Yeah, he came to me. He was like, "Oh, I want to call." But dude, first, I've heard the word "please." It's like, "All right, cool." And so I was like, "Man, all right, let's just do it."
Yeah, that's and that's how it started.
And I don't, you know, I love like just to kind of circle back. Just even just what we're doing and just kind of the message behind, because we are the message. Like what you're doing is the message. We are the message, right? So even like he was the, at least in my path and my journey, I was like, okay, well, bump it, rock out. What we want to call it, let's cultivate it. Mm-hmm. What you want to do, let's rock, you know. And it matches the resonance of what I wanted to do. I was like, well, shit, like. This is how we come together, bro. Like, everybody wants, especially now, everybody wants to be known because they have something or they're above something. Man, please. Man, come on. Man, look, take your brother, take your sister, take your boy, take all y'all friends and stuff, man. Come up with some dope stuff, bro, and help each other out. Like, and let's do something.
Plebes.
Dude, I honestly, like, you're preaching to the choir. This is all
100%
why I have always embraced the concept. It's why me and my friends embrace it too. You know, I think that it's like a byproduct. We talk about pros and cons of the things that we have here, and one of the byproducts of having the internet and having social pages, mm-hmm. one of the negative byproducts is the false illusion of self that creates for every person. Oh, like how they have to pretend to be this person online that is mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. measures up to whatever metric or they convey themselves this way online, and there's like the lack of depth about it being when the way they actually are as a person, mm-hmm. like outside of Instagram, when you meet them on the street, are they actually like that same thing?
Yeah.
There's like a lack of authenticity, I guess, is what I'm saying.
For definitely. And I think, like Jordan Peterson, he calls that empathetic narcissism, where it's like you are acting this way because you want people to look at you.
Yep.
And it's like you said, there's no depth to who that person is. It's all about look at me, look at me, look at me, and I want all the views and I want all the likes.
I did it all myself. Because
exactly. Whenever you didn't do it yourself, it wasn't even who you are. And then down the line, it doesn't even take that long for these people to realize it, where that's not what I want to do, right? Because it's hard to sustain that for 20, 30, 40, your entire life. Whenever it's like you're this fake person your entire life, then you end up being depressed, and now you don't want to do that anymore, you know? And that's what I think this big cycle will turn into, is you'll find a lot of people are going to be like ashamed with how they've chosen their life to go because of just one decision, or because one decision, I want to get famous, I want to make a bunch of money. It's like you're selling your soul to this thing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Metaphorically.
I don't know if that makes sense. Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. Metaphorically, for sure.
It gets guised as motivation. It gets guised as, I am doing some good. You know, I try, like, bro, I try my best to live and be in the equilibrium, you know, and like, and you know, we all do things from a good heart, but I also got to look at like, you know, look at real life. And I see a lot, just go back online, right? There's a couple, there's a trend and that, you know, people exposing people in the gym and things like that. Sure. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
right? And I'm like, okay, great. Great. Dun, 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 dun. You're Superman. You're saying, man, nobody should be doing this. Okay, great. Okay, well okay, now what? Like, is at some point, like, you're either just staying in this battle just because you, or staying in this level because you, cause you can keep beating the low level pawns and not go anywhere, and you just love being the king in your little self
your tiny little kingdom. Yeah,
exactly. Yes. Exactly.
And I'm, you know, and I'm, I try not to judge. You know, and like, okay, you're trying to do something, but then that my soul and your discernment, you're just like, but you're not. We see what you're doing. We see you. You know, this empathetic narcissism.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, sure. You know,
and you're just this fake person.
It's one of the cons. Like, there's a lot of pros to the this whole thing. This, like, we were the experiment too. Like, really, our generations were the fucking experiment. Right. They're like, we don't know what this is gonna do to people, but here you go, and this is what we have. You know, I'm sure you all know people who have completely consumed their life into some stupid element of social media that is has absolutely nothing to do with waking up and living your life on a daily basis. There was a time before we did this.
Yes. Yes.
We live.
Yes.
Well, and the biggest thing that's getting lost in this is the talking to people. It's the communication aspect, you know, 100%. And like, yeah. And it'll turn into like, I remember when I was in high, cause I'm only 21. Right. So it's like, I'm in the generation where you're like, what people are talking about is like the next generation that's like always on their phone and all that. Right. So I grew up with those kids in high school. And so I was lucky enough to just be an observer in that. And you'll see people where they're just, and they're talking with people when you're right next to them by texting.
Oh yeah, bro.
You know, and you're just texting each other, but you're sitting right next to each other. So then now you're losing that verbal, like, you, yes, you're just texting or whatever, but now you don't know how to read their body language. You don't understand tone of voice, you know, and then things can get so easily misconstrued through text.
Through text, sure.
Exactly, that you have no idea. One conversation could start over here and then ends up over there because of an assumption along the way, because of some text.
Isn't it funny how in real time we see language like essentially evolve?
It's been incredible.
Or rather devolve. Or
good point. Like, yeah.
Or devolve. Yeah, right. Because now we're sending messages through straight pictures. But then pictures was the first form of communication. So
that's interesting. Yeah,
that's interesting. Well, and like you bring up a good point. Is it evolving or devolving? Because if I can if I can send you a picture, if I can send you four letters and it conveys the message of a sentence, is that better or worse? Like, are we just becoming? Were we assimilating with the technology and you know, reducing the redundancies in all forms of language?
See,
why tell you a complex thing when I can send you a meme and you'll get the joke and I don't have to text you a goddamn word?
Exactly, and you're losing communication. Like, there's a loss of just human experience in that, you know, and that's very important. Like, there's a reason why humans are social animals. We're not. Like, even introverts still have friends. You know what I mean? It's like, even it's. Does that make sense?
No. You got like, but he like y'all just. A thought was provoked, and I'm just holding on to it. Oh my god, I'm just holding. Just go ahead.
No, it's just. It's just interesting, man. That it's like, you know, if we are social animals, why are we so gravitated towards something that is a form of communication, but it takes that social interaction out of it, whereas it's so much more stimulating to talk to someone and watch them talk with their hands, and you watch how their eyes move while they're talking to you, or you can tell what they're thinking about, or that they're thinking about something while they're talking. Like, that adds stimulus to conversation, whereas now it's like an instant gratification, right? If you text someone, like you said, you may have four letters convey a whole sentence. That's instant gratification. Right. And so maybe it is devolving or evolving communication to factor in instant gratification. I don't know. My hypothesis.
Oh, no. Yeah. This dude. Okay. So, like, the thought I had, right, with that. So now, okay, to go into like equilibrium, right? to talk about evolution, like to what's evolve and devolve, and like, is it bad for us to like have things shortened for us to be able to like, okay, I need to like you to, okay, if I'm going somewhere, I need code or whatever to like have a hidden language to be able to go somewhere. Like, maybe some shit done popped off, whatever, right? And you can't say.
They're listening, on the first right? They're listening, right? They're listening, right? You have to code the language. You have to code the language,
right? You exactly. Code the language. So, okay, is it evolving the language, or you know, and or do we call it? Is it, you know, bad or is it good? It's interesting how we are communicating. It's becoming faster, yet. With the lack of human interaction does decrease our sensitivity to our natural vibrations, to like, you know, in our natural stimulus.
Well, you're totally right.
Yes.
Oh, go ahead.
That's what's interesting. So we're at this tipping point. We're really at this true tipping point to where if we rely so much on the, like you said, instant gratification, then we're gonna lose so much. We should might as well be mush.
Well, you both bring up a really good point, and it's like becoming clear the more we're talking about it. We're talking about removing the emotion from language, like we were saying before. How many times have you or somebody you know had a fight with someone over some shit that was said over text that wasn't it wasn't intended to be mean or malicious? That person read it, or it auto-corrected to something, and it turned into this whole thing. There's like 100%. An emotional component to communication that is just fucking dying.
Yeah, like it's interesting to see where we'll go with that.
Even like what we're doing right here, like I always prefer to be video chatting with the people that I'm doing the podcast with, just so that we can be looking at each other. Even though we're remote, we're still kind of looking at each other. We're not veiled behind some wall.
We can still translate what's going on.
We can intuit each other's emotional sincerity in what we're saying and how we're saying it.
Yeah,
like that absolutely is dying.
This is for sure, bro, dying. Big dog. I'm having a lot of revelations right now because it's like how the conversation started, and we're talking about human interaction, and I was getting ready to go. To even you hear me, I hear you, and even the sound of how we're talking even makes a, like our like how you sound and how I sound like can jazz us up and like let's keep rocking and rolling. That makes a big difference.
It's like to the emotion of the conversation. If you're talking to someone and they're just amped up about and they're passionate about whatever they're talking about, you're passionate too.
You're gonna get amped. You're gonna get amped
exactly. No matter what they could be talking about something you don't even know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
But by the fact that they are just so amped up about what they're talking about, you're like, dude, yeah, me too. I'm amped up about it too. I don't know what you're talking about, but
I'm into it. You know, I love it.
Exactly. Yep. And so it's just very, for me, it's interesting. I always think about, okay, well, what's next, right? If we're taking the emotion out of conversation, now how does that mean we're going to communicate in person next? Is there into that, or are we adaptable enough as a human being to not let it transfer over to real life conversation? Because if it turns into, and I know we've all had conversation with somebody where they say LOL in the conversation, and you're like, did you just say LOL? You know, and it's like, you know, and I'm not, again, we're not judging nobody, but it's just like, it's, again,
you,
it's a
maybe you of, maybe you aren't, but
yeah, right.
Maybe okay, you aren't.
Maybe I am. I don't know. but no, it's just it's taking the emotion out of the conversation where it's like
that's
you
crazy.
Instead of laughing, you said LOL. Oh, it's
real?
Like you take emotion out of it, and I don't know. It's
LOL,
just,
LOL.
It's just my question is well, what do you think is going to happen next for the human experience?
Have you guys read the book The Giver? Because I don't think it's looking really good for the
the human. Bro, as long as go ahead,
sorry.
If you haven't, for anybody listening, The Giver is an amazing book. If you haven't read it, go get a copy. It's a super simple read. It's a wonderful allegory, and it becomes more and more relevant every fucking day.
I told you about it. You talked about it a couple times.
They just made a movie. It was kind of like Lionsgate, I think, did it, but it didn't get like a big release. Jeff Bridges is The Giver. Yep. It's all right, but you can watch it on Amazon.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I've seen that movie.
Yeah, dude.
It's okay. The book is better. Book is way better.
When I was in elementary school, that was a mandatory reading.
Yeah, bro.
That was amazing. Yeah.
And I was like, why are they making us read this really fucking somber book? And now it's 2023. I'm like, this is why.
That's why.
This is why they told us to read that fucking book. Why'd they make us watch Animal Farm? You know, same fucking thing.
1984.
Yeah, no, seriously, dude, bro. It's just like we every day we get closer to those false realities.
You know, and like you said, false realities, bruh. When you realize how much of your own life that you can project, when you don't have control over that, how much of the of somebody else's life you're projecting. So you got 85% of the kids reading the book and that are now caught in this illusion that's now creating not their reality, but the reality that they read or they seen.
Or that is programmed into them, you know, and it's like you said, it can lead to where, I lost my train of thought. Never mind. Forget what I was saying.
Like schooling is that's the child. I'm honestly surprised that they made us watch Animal Farm and they let us read The Giver, like compared to what school is now. School, at least in my era, was when they were rolling out No Child Left Behind, and it became it became strictly you just need to pass the tests. I remember getting instructed specifically, it's better to guess than to leave an answer blank on your test.
If
you're going to guess, guess with C because the probability is highest that it's going to be C.
Oh, my God. Yes,
they didn't give a fuck if I was learning anything. They didn't give a fuck if I was thinking, learning how to think. It was all just passing the fucking test. And it's always been that way. And there's like a whole conspiracy tirade I could go down about the Prussian method of schooling and the industrialists in the early 1900s.
Oh, 100%, bro.
Yeah.
The long and short of it is... The industrialists needed a workforce to operate the machines, and no one knew how to operate the machines. So we went to Prussia, brought their schooling method over, and that's why we're taught to regurgitate information so we can be a learned and trained workforce, a docile
factory worker.
That's 100%. That's exactly what there's a fucking reason behind it all, and it's typically money. So
Right. Well, I want to go back to what
they don't want us thinking.
Well, and that's just so true. But I want to go back to what you're saying about how you're just for a test, right? It's all about the numbers of you passing the test. The reasoning for that is so then they can just get their money, so then they can pay everybody. It's all about budgeting. It's
all about that money.
You need 100 people to pass the test, right? So then you can get your $100 million or whatever of funding. Yep. So then now you make sure that 100 people are passing that test.
Yep.
You give them.
I don't give a fuck if they know anything. They just need to pass that
as
test.
As long as you know how to pass the test.
Get that grant money.
Get the grant money. Whatever it is, your funding, man.
They get that funding. You got to have the percentages high. They teach you how to take a test, not what's on the test. None of that matters. Here's a method. This is the method they're going to make you use. Bah, boom, boom, bah, bah. Here's the training manual of what they want you to do.
quite literally, that's why the books are bullshit. The books in schools were, I remember as a kid being like, damn, this seems sparse.
Oh, my God.
You know, human history seems like it's a lot more dense than this one paragraph describing an entire age of, you know, it's just the fucking manuals to regurgitate how to fucking spit back the same thing you were just told.
I wasn't mad at the fact, but I was like, yo, if they taught every curriculum as it's related to us, like biology in its truth, not or like if whatever type of science, chemistry, or how it's related to you, not just focusing on the external components of a chemical, but understanding the alchemy that is you, which is the same thing. Bro, it will be so much fun. It will be so much easier to learn. To learn astronomy and astrology in science class, bro, and like how all this has caught, like it makes a difference. How the elements, how it truly works with our integration. No, they teach us in a way that is external. Then now you're confused, bro. I learned more about chemistry, about my meditating than I have in any book. I was like, what?
Yeah. I mean, geometry, the same thing.
100%. Oh my God. Yes, for real.
That's a big one.
Didn't give a fuck about geometry when it was being talked about in my math classes. And then when I learned about sacred geometry, I was like, oh wow, this is so much more interesting. This makes sense. It's inherent in everything. Oh wow, how cool.
Yes,
so much better,
bro,
than what they were telling me in math class.
Oh my God.
Well, my question for you is, because you kind of said this earlier, do you think that the reason they're only teaching you what's boring part of geometry is because they don't really want you to learn geometry because of whatever the understanding of sacral geometry that unlocks something for you? Well, they don't want everyone to have that knowledge, right? Or they don't want everyone to have how to be introspective. Right, because you don't learn how to do that in school.
Nope.
You know, you learn how, like you said, you learn how to regurgitate and read everything, but you never learn how to read, you know, your insides and your own emotions. Nope. You know, and so I think that that's. So then again, my question would be, why do you think it is that?
I'll kind of go back to what I was saying before. The integrated nature of education that we're talking about, the ideal scenario, is what the Greeks did, and it was focusing around the seven liberal arts and sciences. And they talked about the interconnectedness of all things. Music was a part of that. Math was a part of that. Astronomy was a part of that. English was a part of that. Performing plays, like the seven liberal arts and sciences contain basically everything you'd need to know, and they're all interconnected. And there are some like private schools that still kind of work on this method, or very well funded select schools focus on this method, and the results will not shock you. The rich people who send their kids to these schools, their kids are automatically a lot more prepared for life in general once they leave school than most of us are.
That's like the Plato Academy.
Yeah, Plato Academy.
We got the Plato Academy out here. That's like the Plato Academy out here, bro.
Bro, seven liberal arts and sciences. That's 100% why it's called the Plato Academy.
Dude, are you ready for this? A good friend of mine, her daughter, out of that, this girl plays the harp. She plays the harp.
That's so cool.
The harp, bro.
How old is she?
I don't know.
How old is she?
Well, right, dude, she was playing a harp at 4 years old.
Unacceptable,
bro.
See, this is what I'm saying. If we taught kids with this shit, if this was the shit they used,
come on, bro,
in our schools, we'd be living in a fucking utopia. It'd be Atlantis. We'd be flying cars.
Dude.
There'd be kids levitating shit. You know, like it's honestly so enraging. I am also, going back to the whole plebe thing, I am 100% of the mindset that every single person has the ability to get to that point. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you're from. I truly, honestly believe that if you do the work internally, if you retreat inside yourself and sort out your emotions internally, anyone is able or capable of learning any skill, doing any complex math problem. It's not, it really, this isn't some fucking exotic shit. I just feel that the forces are against us so great to keep us in this low emotional state that there's very little hope for most people. Most people will never be able to break through the fucking shell of programming that exists in fast food, television advertisements, fucking pop-up ads on Instagram, TikTok. Yep. You know what I mean? Like the method to suck our attention and our energy and control our behavior is at an all-time high with this shit.
Dude,
how connected everyone is.
Dude. Yeah. Bro, I've been saying this for a minute, and I've been saying it in this way to try to like this kind of, this helps me with my, but just with my equilibrium with people. I'm like, look, I need y'all to look at how amazing you are. Do you realize, like you're saying, how much? Think about the trillions of dollars that it takes to create an environment to destroy you. Like, bro, think about that, bro.
It's a massive infrastructure. Like, it's a massive infrastructure.
Think about that. And guess what? We here.
Talking about it. And that's the thing, man, is like, when you realize you still, even when there's trillions of dollars against you, you still have the power to make your own decisions, and you still have the power to realize, oh, wait, hold on, that's the programming from this commercial I watched. Oh, that's why I don't drink Bud Light anymore, was because of some commercial. You know what I mean? And because of the outrage of a commercial. You know, and it's like when you're allowing these external forces to make the decisions for you, then you are just this sheep that is a follower, right? But if you can, and again, even though there are trillions of dollars worth of money working against you, it's still very easy for you to just go inside yourself, sit on the couch, close your eyes, and
it's
just
fucking free.
Let it be.
It's free.
Exactly.
Doesn't cost a damn thing.
100%.
Nothing.
100%. And it's so easy to combat something that, again, there are when you think of that, trillions of dollars, I don't even know how many zeros that is. You know what I mean? And it's like when there's trillions of dollars against you, but yet, it's so easy for you, me, you know, you, for everybody to just sit down and be introspective and find your own path. And if you can still, if you want to be, you know, a stand-up comedian or you want to be whatever, or a podcaster, then just sit down and do it. And then, like you said earlier, collect your emotion towards that and just have your consistent thought in that direction. Even though there's trillions of dollars working against you, it's still easy for you to choose your own decision to make your own path. But you first have to be aware enough that, oh, these aren't my decisions. That's why I made that decision. And you have to be introspective. And, you know, it's not that nobody can do it or not everybody can. Like you just said, anybody can do it, you know. And I always hate it when people say, like, oh, nobody can do this or nobody's doing this. It's if you are saying that nobody's doing it, then that means that a lot of people are doing it. Because I hear so many people say, oh, well, oh, I can't do this or I can't do that or this will never happen or this will never change. But if I hear everybody saying this will never change, then that means that everybody is seeing that something needs to be changed. You see, so look and talk to the people around you. Don't look at the media or the things that are put in front of you and listen to what they're saying. Listen to your own human experience. And again, that's how we've talked about this on our own podcast before. That's how you combat against these collective illusions where you feel like you have to be rich and famous. And this is like he was talking about earlier with kids and how they feel like they need to be rich or they need to go on TikTok and have millions of followers. They don't. They feel like they need to because this illusion, that's how you become rich and that's how you become successful. So then you have to combat that illusion. So again, it's not that nobody can go through this veil and that it's unpierceable. It's just ignorance is bliss, right? You have to let them know, hey, you're being programmed. This is how. How do I know? Because I identified it in my own life. And that's how people need to start talking to each other, is through their own experiences, not through the facts or what you read on the internet. You need to talk about your own experience because, again, we were talking about this before we started. It's so easy on the internet to confirm your bias, find wrong information, because there are 6 billion people that use it. You know what I mean? Like, you're not that special. Your thoughts are not that special. And so whenever you think about it's so I don't know. Now I'm going on a rant.
I'm like, man, bro. I'm like, man, bro. Like, yeah. Take a breath.
I'm
like,
I'm sorry. But no, man. As you can tell, I'm very passionate about it.
I was like, yes.
Well, it is, look, guys, this is something to be passionate about. This is our fucking future here.
Hell yeah.
Like, I've been saying this since I was a kid. I saw this shit. When I was a kid, I saw what was going to happen, and it's all fucking happening. And all the things that everyone said that will never happen are fucking happening, and I don't like it. Yep. And I see something is wrong. And just like you were saying, if enough people are looking around saying something is fucked up here, something's fucked up.
Yep.
And within that same spirit, if enough people collectively organize to fix a problem,
yes,
we can accomplish things. Just saying, just throwing 100%. That little tidbit out there. Anyway, you were going to say something. I cut you off. I'm sorry.
It's going to take, unfortunately, Big Dog, you know, and I've sat on this and I feel you, but now we're at the point where we have to see it. Mm-hmm. But I do know what I am sure of, though, right? Like, in order to survive, you have to have some type of awareness. And Noah got messaged to build his ark. If you building your ark, all right, man, when the flood comes, man, all right, well, you good on your ark. Mm-hmm. Man, at this point, you know, conversations like this is really going to be the only way if people are going to heed to them and like in realize, yo, man, like I have the power in myself, or to the ignorance is bliss. People actually choose not to see it.
Yeah.
Because if I choose to see it, if I acknowledge it, then I have to do something about it.
You can't unacknowledge it. Yeah.
No, you sure can't. And people, as long as I've been working with people, and I've worked with many people, and I'm like, why is it so hard for you to escape what you deem uncomfortable? And what's uncomfortable is themselves.
Dude, you're fucking preaching the choir. Keep going.
Bruh, y'all, dude, that's the truth. For real. And I'm like, dude, and I was like, bruh, do you realize how beautiful you are? Mm. But bro, we are inundated and we are surrounded by, like, this is a battlefield. This is a battlefield in its physical and its metaphysical. And if you're not doing the work, you will, like, if you're not doing the work within yourself, if you're not doing it, you will succumb to what is the reality that you are afraid of. That's what you are creating. I can see what's going on outside my window, but hey, if we want to circle back to, you know, the self aspect of it, well, hey, my selfishness has now gained my selflessness of my people. Now we on my arc, and the shit that y'all seeing, I'm not a part of. I'm now creating I'm creating what we supposed to be doing. Self-sustainability. Utopias, evolved societies, bro. Like, no, it's like, you right. There should not be, we should not be at no paying for a little bitty percentage of people to have vast amount of knowledge. No. I want to be driving and flying and using all our chi and understand. Bro, we don't even understand. Bro, we are real life superheroes.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Straight up. We're like, we do things. Our bodies and how we're connected with this field, this electromagnetic field that we only have, only as microscopic.
It doesn't make sense, and we have a tiny understanding of how it's all interconnected.
And look what we do, and look what we do with it, with those who do actually do things with it. And unknowingly, like, think about that. And that's just what we perceive. That doesn't mean that you're not going to perceive anymore, because the higher your senses, sensitivity, the higher your empathic body, you're going to sense more of the frequency and vibrations around you. That's just science.
No, it really is, and I think it's been interesting to, like, it's going to happen, and it's already been happening over the past 20 years. Really, yes, all the deepening of our understanding of these sciences continue to point to the fact that there is some layer of interconnectedness, like. And this is quantum physics shit. Like, I didn't make this up. Yeah. Sorry. Nobody be mad at me for having this opinion, because it's not my fucking opinion. Yeah. People that are much smarter than I am are all coming to this conclusion. I don't think, I personally am of the mindset that there is a layer higher. So I was telling you guys before, I do audio. I've been doing music and that led me into production, and that led me into all the other things that I've done relating to audio. And it didn't click with me until probably my mid-20s. It was the vibrations. I loved the vibrations. I could sit, I want to sit in front of my guitar cabinet and just be washed with the vibrations that I'm creating through my instrument. It's the resonance. My body, I'm just shaking my body. And that feels good to me because I'm an energetic being. And at every layer, at every layer of this, of what we understand of this reality, vibration is what keeps shit together. Resonance, that is like an actual sound term. When you when you pipe a signal into a resonator and you find the resonant frequency of that resonator, you can double the amplitude. And sometimes you explode the thing. Like when a glass, like a opera singer sings a super high note, she found the resonant frequency of that glass. And once that glass resonated, it resonated perfectly. It exploded because... I also understand that right now, our society is propelled by invisible fucking forces. How many times do you look around and acknowledge the microwaves that are surrounding you right now to allow your cell phones to work?
100%.
We're swimming in that shit, guys. Like electromagnetic radiation, it's like we're underwater. If our eyes could see that portion of the spectrum, it would be a totally different reality. It'd be a completely different.
100%. So it would freak people out, bro.
And even just talking, like I have said this 1,000 times to 1,000 different people, and 50% of the time, it made whoever I was telling it super uncomfortable. And it's like, dude, what? You had no problem using your cell phone before, but now that I've explained to you what's going on, now you feel weird about it. Now you feel like it's a problem.
It's already here now,
bro. We're so deep into this shit. Yeah. We're not coming out.
Oh my god! No, bro. Sure. It's said and done. Like you're gonna have to see it. Like,
yeah, right. We're on this fucking train. we're on this train and we're riding it.
Yeah.
True.
Well, and I want to go back to something you were saying earlier about how we tapped into like with quantum physics and everything, something like quantum entanglement, right? Just that idea alone, where it's talking about how everything in the universe is connected by one point. So then, if let's say for example, if you split my phone, or let's use it on a cosmic sense, if you split a star in half. And then you split one part of that star in one half of the universe and the other part of that star in the other half of the universe. Those two stars are vibrating at the same frequency. So then eventually they will come and connect with each other, right? And so then if everything in the universe is connected through one point, and the belief through in the theory of quantum entanglement is that point is right before the Big Bang. Right when we're in that one point, that's where all of us are connected. And that confirms this idea of like a group consciousness, right? And it's like, as you understand that idea of we're all connected in one way, shape, or form with, you know, me, Damar, you know, you, James, the grass, that dog that walks across the street that you think is cute, we're all connected in some way, shape, or form, then you understand like how minute it is when we have these little stupid arguments about something that somebody said, or because of what a political affiliation they are, or like it's just these illusions that we've created. We as humans want to make this simple experience so complicated. Because we are complex beings, we think that it has to be more complicated than it is. It's whenever people say it, we overthink. Right, you overthink because you have the capability to overthink. If you were a dog, you don't overthink things. You know, you're hungry, you go get food, or you beg for food. But because we have the capability to make things so complex, that's what we've done. And now, because of this complexity, like a cell phone, it's led to where now there's no emotional interaction in our conversation, and it's again these complexities again, or where we have two political parties, and now we care about that. Or the minuteness of that we've created. And now I'm so mad that you're a Republican or that you're a Democrat or whatever, but we've created those two classes. You know what I mean? And so we're mad at something that's man-made. So again, if we're all connected through this one cosmic understanding of quantum entanglement, which proves this, then how stupid is it that we care about that whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or whatever?
We wouldn't be plebes if we weren't bickering over shit, right? We wouldn't be the Romans. It was a known thing. You keep the plebes fighting amongst each other about shit that doesn't matter at all. so yeah. that the ruling class can do whatever the fuck it wants. Yep. The shit is the like tale as old as time. Yeah, it has manifested in every microcosm of society since and probably before then. They probably learned it from somewhere.
Exactly. Exactly.
Application, 2 stars. We do it all the fucking time.
Yes.
People, if Done. People fucking wait, if people wait, people looking for their soulmate. People looking for their twin flame. Okay, go fuck your way through. Oh man, wait, that person resonates with me. Oh, together, big bang. Oh, after the big bang, what happens? Oh shit, life is created. Big bang, sperm reaches egg cell. Boom. Baby, new life, new universe is born. Man, we overcomplicate every fucking thing. These people got everybody got like they got to deal with the Grass Tyson, all these motherfuckers, bro. Like, and they got the manosphere, all the division. That's where all the division come from. These ain't nobody. Nobody is. They're not listening or feeling the resonance. Me and him was talking about the resonance the other day. I said, bro, you know that feeling of anxiety when you're doing something that that you are like, that is you, when you're doing something that is like, man, like it's giving you like it's something that you're supposed to be doing, and you got this, you can't stay still, but you got to get grounded, and it kind of feel anxious, but it's not anxious. That's excitement. That's your resonance. Listen to it. It's the same thing. Oh wait, I'm not supposed to go in that neighborhood, or I ain't supposed to be in this direction. Oh, I'm not supposed to go in this car. That's the same resonance. And all those microwaves, the phone and stuff is got your resonance, because we're moving and we don't even know our own circadian rhythm, which has the earth circadian rhythm off, because our circadian rhythm is off. Everybody's fucked up.
Yeah, no, quite literally. I am absolutely inclined to believe that it would be dumb to think us electromagnetic beings are not in some way influenced by the amount of electromagnetic energy that we are being.
That's what, for sure.
It would be dumb to believe that. Like our bodies, physical, our tangible bodies absolutely interact with that shit. It is known measurable science. And we went from even 50 years ago, bro, 50 years ago, people weren't swimming in what we're swimming in. 20 years ago, there wasn't broadband internet everywhere. No. 20 years ago, people were not swimming in this shit. Like, by the time we are older, we will absolutely have a couple tumors to add to the, contribute to the science to say that, yes, our physical body interacts with this. We can't see it, but doesn't mean it's not real. We can't touch it, doesn't mean it's not hurting us.
This is how, cause bro, man, that has been like the biggest thing on my journey, man. Meditation helped me really realize and understand a lot about frequencies and vibration and how to, and a lot of the information was about this, bro. Like I work with people, I train people, or coach people. Like, I know now I'm like, everything is like here to destroy us. So I'm like, okay, well, okay, we're here. Okay, we're around all this poison. I can't just tell people, hey, we around all this shit. Don't eat the chicken. Okay, what do we do? So over here, and I'm gonna just use our nation, our state.
It's what we know.
It's what we know. I'm going to just use this because this is a whole nother culture in itself. But we consume. We have more. And everything around us that we can't see is polluted. And what we can't see is polluted. To circle back to what we've all been talking about on this podcast was the introspect. Now, in my path, I have a couple intense meditation sessions. What I've learned through grounding, when we are taking that time to go within, and especially grounding, you then now tap into your own frequency and vibration. You're your own personal DJ. You're your own personal instrument. You're your own Reiki. You're your own tongue. Your own sound bowl. when you are allowing that grounding and that energy to roll through your spine and through your nervous system, you begin to heal yourself. The only way, and then, because bro, we're around the waves. Like, there's no, if we're constantly consumed by it, we can't experience our full body, and in which we're not anyway. So what we have to do is use. We have to go less. We actually have to stop eating. We stop eating as much, if not all, because everything is poison.
Our options. Yeah, our options are trash.
Our options here.
Yeah.
But how we combat it here, we have to go less. We have to go backwards. We are getting too much. We get too much of everything.
Everything.
Like, and everything is too affordable. Everything is too comfortable, and it is stopping our personal the majority's personal growth. Like, I'm not putting us in that category, because we're aware of it. Because you're doing stuff, you're learning about yourself. We're doing these things, mm-hmm. but for the mass, look, if you're not focused on yourself, you're being washed up under these currents.
Yep. Well, then you wake up and realize your whole life's been wasted because you've been serving it to what they want you to do and not what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it goes back again. You know, it's what we were talking about earlier about fake people, and you have your fake personalities out there. You know, whenever you believe that's what it takes to, you know, get rich and famous, 20 years down the line, you realize, well, that's not really what I was meant to do.
Nope.
You know, and you feel like that, well, you know, it's like you're creating this false purpose for yourself. You know, to satisfy some type of need that you have, and because you're too afraid and you have too much resistance to just go inside yourself, you decide, nope, I'm just going to create a new person that problem doesn't exist. You know, and because we have the ability to do that, again, we're complex human beings that are making this simple experience complex.
Yeah.
You know, if you are just, you're too afraid to go inside yourself, and all it takes is that. Is that little effort to do that, and then you just realize, like, there's no way that you can't continue down that path. If you just step in the right direction, I swear to God, it's almost like the universe, God, whatever you want to call it, just forces you to keep going down that, because then you start running into people that are going down your same path. And then you start to realize, you know, 3 months of me going down and doing meditation just twice a day or twice a week or whatever, you know, then you're like, wow, I'm such a different person than I was. You know, well, I don't get as many likes on Instagram anymore, but I think that's okay. You know, and because that's not who you are. But again, if you're too afraid to go inside yourself, and whether that's meditation, whatever you use to do that, it's... your existence will be false, and you're not gonna be able to find your true purpose. And I think that, you know, that's our job in a human existence. And I've said this to him before: is to wake up tomorrow and figure out what your purpose is. That's it. That's our jobs here. And if you realize everybody does that in some way, shape, or form, whether you want to have a family or because you want to have a certain job title or you want to make a certain amount of money, it's all about just meeting some type of false personality, unless you're able to go inside yourself and realize, oh, wait, why are we really like talking to people? Why are we really like understanding other people's perspective? Well, let me start doing a podcast. You know, and it's like, if you aren't able to understand that about yourself, then you would have never started a podcast, and you wouldn't
sitting here
doing something that you love to do. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, even just the fact that, you know, like being able to have a conversation where you're okay with accepting, maybe I don't know the answers here. That's unfamiliar territory for most people. Like, a lot of people, most people like rigid and defined borders. They like to understand that 1 + 1 = 2. They don't really like to venture outside. Like, well, what if it didn't?
Yeah.
Okay, it does, but what if it didn't? Mm-hmm. What if we just thought of that for a second? And I also think that this is like, it's definitely more a thing in this country for sure, but is probably reflective in all Western cultures and any Eastern culture that has started to adopt Western ideals.
Mm-hmm.
But Eastern cultures have taught... there's at least 50% of the population of this planet
that 100% has been thinking of a cosmic oneness. It's been a part of their fundamental experience.
That's true.
We're, our perspective here is heavily jaded because of the Judeo-Christian system of hell. I lived in the South. I don't know where you guys are now.
I'm born in Louisiana, you're in, bro.
Oh, you know. I was born in Mississippi, so right there with you. Bro, lived in Florida, lived in Tennessee, too. Like, I get it.
We in Florida right now.
Yeah.
You coming out of Louisiana either Catholic, Baptist, or Methodist.
No choice. No choice.
Bro.
Yeah, get your ass beat. Never have so many Christians be so violent.
Come on, bro.
Then by going to the South and saying you don't believe in religion. Yeah, for sure.
They look at you wrong. But that was the hardest it was a hard break for me to like break from a lot of that and not deem everything demonic, cuz I'm like, "Well, damn. Dude, what really helped me break a lot of seals was I was on a stepper on a Stairmaster, and it was around ISIS, and they did a video, they showed that video on the news where that dude getting his head cut off, and I just remembered thinking like, okay, is this it? If this is it, then why are we here? Then blow this bitch up right now. I don't want to see this. I don't want to see none of this. Yeah. And then I'm like, okay, well, when I asked that question, my next question was, okay, well, if I'm made like the creator, if I'm going to create something, why would I purposely destroy it? Okay, bro. And then I asked myself, okay, well, then if Christians want to say, I challenge my belief. I was like, if y'all want to say, what would Jesus do? I said, well, then what did Jesus do? Y'all not doing what Jesus did. I'm doing what Jesus did.
Yep.
Bruh, that broke everything from me. And so when people like, oh man, people like, what do you believe? No, believe in. I said, I walk with. I am, bruh. Like, y'all understand your true oneness and what you understood what Jesus was trying to tell y'all. Y'all would be at the same table with them, not following him. He'll look at you stupid, like, why are you following me?
Yeah.
Have you learned anything yet?
It literally says that in the book, but people don't read the fucking book. They'll base their whole life around it, but they won't read it. Because reading is hard. I don't like thinking about things.
Yeah. Well, and that's always been my problem, like, what kind of broke the mold for me, because I was raised in the South, right, and as a Christian, and my parents were never like super into it, but I went to Catholic school, so like they were really into it,
I'm sure.
Yeah,
they were fully and committed. So,
yeah. Yeah, very committed. And so
yeah, a lot of therapy sessions Thursday.
I don't want to talk about that. All right, listen. Yeah. Anyways,
he jokes, y'all.
But no, it's fuck me, man. It was interesting whenever I would see how many people go to church, and it's like this idea that you can ask for forgiveness no matter what you do, right? And it's like, even if you kill somebody, you could go in there and ask for forgiveness for it. It's like, all good. That's kind of a weird thing, right? And it's like, I understand, like, you want to search for, like, find forgiveness for everything, so maybe it makes you feel better, but it's like, I don't know, whenever you can be forgiven for anything right away like that, you know,
honestly, like, it feels like a bunch of,
even alcoholics have to go through a 12-step program.
It feels like a bunch of priests who didn't want to feel guilty about doing dirty shit made up a bunch of fucking rules so they could absolve themselves of their guilt the next day.
Of it, that's so true, man. If you look at like the history of a lot of popes,
if you look at the history of the fucking Catholic Church, and you look at the history of the popes, bro, the popes were into some seedy behavior, like historically, hundreds of years of just horrible debaucherous behavior, top down. Every cardinal, it infected every layer of that institution over the thousand years that it was on top. You know, like we talk about the infrastructure that exists to keep us behaving this way. Before that infrastructure existed, it was religion. Was the first version of that, and it's just become now more elegant and more elegant forms of propaganda.
Mm-hmm. And it's
but
still a religion.
Religion was that, you know.
Yeah, so, but when you it's like, you know, it's still is, yeah, sure. Yeah, when you think about like an academic, right? Someone who has their PhD, And like that to them is their religion, you know, and you try to go against them and what they say, you blasphemy. You know what I mean? So it's like, exactly, man. And it's like, we all in our own sense kind of have our own religion, you know, if you want to look at it in that way, because we all have to, like, for some reason as humans, we all feel like we need to, like, worship something, and there has to be, like, some higher power, or there has to be some higher purpose. Like, why does it have to be that, again, why does it have to be that complex? Why can't it be as simple as you were put here to find your own purpose? And it's preaching the Bible, free will, right? It's like that was the one nugget. It's like, okay, that makes sense, right? Free will. If we can make our own choice.
God told the Israelites, like, you don't need no king. The Israelites wanted a king. Mm-hmm. It was like, okay, here's your king. And you know who they got? King Solomon.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. He's like, y'all can do this yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, it was already there. There's even a passage. It will be heaven. And they won't be able to see it. Heaven will be right in front of them. They won't be able to see it. Mm-hmm. Like, bro, it don't get much clearer than that. And people constantly create their hell. They even tell you, oh,
yeah.
How you feeling? Well, just another day.
Yeah.
Oh, same old shit. And when
not,
you think
too
about
bad. Not too bad.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
That's bad, but not too bad.
Yeah. Right?
Yep.
It's, bro, they create their own hells, man.
Yeah. It's almost like, again, it's not that they, the individual, has created it. It's like it's the environment has been created, so they have to put themselves in that situation.
You predict right? it.
Because it's been, if you're going through education and you go through high school, what's the next practical step? You go to college.
But you got out,
though.
Then
you go to college. Yeah.
But then
you go to college, and what's the next practical step? Well, you go work in a cubicle. You go work in the office, and then you work your way up, and you hustle and grind. And it's like same idea.
You got out, though.
And I got out, but it's through an understanding. You know, it's not everybody is fortunate enough to have that understanding, because a lot of people are ignorant is bliss, right? I went to high school with a lot of kids that wouldn't accept if you were to sit there and try to go against their illusion that they've created for themselves, they immediately would get mad and walk away, or they'd try to fight you. Whereas it's always like if you're able to just sit there and listen to people no matter what they're talking about, you will evolve as a person,
bruh,
and you will be able to interest and go within yourself.
I feel okay. See, that the ignorance is bliss part. So even to say it, like, when to give that to people, I can't get it. Even to say people are fortunate, not fortunate. Bump that, because all of us start on a motherfucking ground, and ignorance is bliss. No, that means choosing, bruh. Even when you get to the ignorance is bliss, everybody, think about how many choices that you have made, and think about how many choices that you're presented, and how many choices are presented before those choices. We're always hit with an awareness. Mm-hmm. We're always hit. Dude, I tried my this goes from just helping hundreds and hundreds of people, and then you kind of see it like, wait a minute. No. You choosing to stay ignorant, because you cannot.
At a certain point, yeah. At a certain point.
And it's getting greater and greater. The truth is out here now. Yeah, they can't. Sure. We are 2020 evolved, like, showed us a lot.
Yep.
And we're in 2023, we got 2024. What have we seen that isn't the truth? Like, there's no more theories.
Yeah.
There's no more theories.
Yeah.
What? It's there in front of us.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, not sorry, right? Like, how are you now at this point? Now you're choosing to be ignorant. Because they're telling you everything, bro. You can just listen to them. They're telling you, bro.
Yeah, it's not even hidden anymore. And by theories, I'm assuming you're pointing to, like, conspiracy theories.
Yes, there's no more theories.
Yeah, no, dude, I'm right there with you. There was shit 20 years ago when I was fucking 12 years old. Yep. I was
Remember you
I was like, I was like, man.
I see where this is going. And yeah, there even in the infancy of the internet, there were plenty of people who could see the fucking writing on the wall. I remember them talking about digital currency. I remember them talking about, like, because New World Order, that was like George Bush, first George Bush, yep, Reagan era. That was like well before.
Yeah,
that was already in the works for sure. Yep. But the digital currency, definitely all the post 9/11 shit. All the.
Oh my
God. I remember the first time Edward Snowden was like, yeah, the government is listening to everything. And that, and then 10 years later, people were like, wait a minute, the government's listening to everything?
Yeah, right. I know.
The government's so reading true. My emails? Yeah, you dumbass. They've been reading them for a decade. Did you read the fucking newspaper?
Yeah.
They made a movie.
Yeah, they made a whole movie. It was a dramatic movie. It wasn't even a documentary. Yeah.
Well, and I think a lot of it too, where like the veil has to be lifted now, where the truth is coming out, is because, you know, whatever the New World Order you want to call it, it's using the same patterns over and over again, right? You look at Vietnam, Korea, World War II, World War I, like it's a lot of patterns, and then the same like ideologies are being pushed through, you know, advertising. That's been happening since the 50s, if not before that,
well before that.
So it's like, it's whenever, again, you're aware of what's going on around you, it just, again, it makes it easier for you to combat those trillions of dollars that are against you.
Remember them ration signs that they had in the grocery stores? Like, in our time, please only take minimum 2 chickens. Mm-hmm. Please take going around the lockdown.
People said to me, to my face, that'll never happen. People said that to my face, and then look, here we are. It happened. Yep. Shocker.
Shocker.
Here we go.
That's the truth. No, man, I think that it's interesting with a lot of, like, if the veil is being lifted, then thank God, you know, because I think that it's only going to create that utopia, you know. And look, guys,
maybe it doesn't, but I can tell you what won't: continuing doing it this way.
Nope.
Exactly. That for sure. We know that isn't going to work. It's clear that's not working. So we have to try. We have to become a little more open to trying something different.
Exactly.
And if we don't try anything different, nothing will change. That's not. Yep. That's a very simple 1+1 kind of equation.
Yeah.
Doing this 2,000-year-old argument.
Yeah. Right.
Well, again, we gave it a shot.
Yeah.
We really gave it a try.
We're gonna
start like a thing that we're gonna have to deal with in our life is a whole bunch of real harsh realities are gonna come to be unavoidable, and we're gonna have to find very creative ways to deal with them. And if we, as an entire group of people, not just Americans, not just beings on this planet, as beings of this planet, if we don't come together and become a lot more humble and a lot more willing to fucking entertain some ideas that we weren't willing to entertain yesterday, it's not going to be good. We will be lucky if what we get is a comet.
Yep.
That will be lucky if shit is over that fast, with no starvation, with no dehydration, with no long drawn out process of human behavior.
Mm-hmm.
If we just look at history, would lead me to believe that this isn't going to play out well. We've seen this before.
I know, James.
We know where this is going.
I'm trying to be optimistic, dog.
And look, that's honestly, it's why I want to have you guys on here, because I saw the podcast and I immediately loved what you were doing. And even like what I try and do with this, I try and like pick, I got down every possible conspiracy rabbit hole you could ever go down. And at some point in the recent history, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to focus on the more tangible versions. That's what I do with these podcasts. I just have conversations about scandals or conspiracies that have occurred throughout time, strange concepts. The point is having a conversation. For an hour a week, I sit down and look at one of my friends in their face, and we just talk. And there's no judgment. There's no preconceived notions of you have to know this, or you're less than because you don't know this. It's just a conversation. That's what's important. So that's why I want to have you guys on. And honestly, this is probably a good spot for us to break. here mm-hmm. for this episode. But before we get off, I'm going to hold you guys a fucking accountable. Right. I want to have you guys on, but I actually want to pick a topic and we all do a little bit of research and do a deep dive into that specific thing. Stay on. I'm going to play the outro. Stay on. We'll talk about it afterward. But guys, thank you for fucking coming on here. Please shout out all the pages and everything. I'll leave the links in the bio, but go ahead and shout them out.
All right. Well, man, we got basically, if it's YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, any profile, it's called Swollen Nerd.
Underscore. It's all underscore.
Yeah, it's all just Swollen Nerd. One word. Nerd. Yep, it's just all one word, Swollen Nerd. One word, Swollen Nerd. There you go. It's easy to remember. Yep.
Love that.
And again, it's for every profile you can think of. We have the Plebs podcast, but our plan is to start having other podcasts as well and starting to have other people that have their own dream of starting a podcast getting on as well. So
the more people we can inspire to just have conversations, the better we're going to be. We're being constructive with that behavior for sure.
100%.
Yeah.
But all right, guys, thank you so much again. This has been the Totally Legitimate Business Podcast. We'll catch y'all in the next one. Guys, stay on.
The Totally Legitimate Business Podcast. With your host, James Oliva. Executive producers, Clint G and James Oliva. That's obnoxious. Sound design, mix, and master by James Oliva. Literally no one cares. For more Totally Legitimate Business, subscribe to our YouTube channel at Totally Legitimate Business or add us on TikTok at TLB Pod. When will this end? Thank you for listening. Now get back to work. Move it along, buddy.